So yeah, man. So that was quite a journey going through the depths of starting a business.
Yeah,
and really developing stuff out. The stuff that you learn and the help that you get along the way is cool.
Yeah, and one thing I thought that was pretty interesting, you were actually part of kind of the first Audible that they ever called as a company, which was the decision going into the warm months to sell shaved ice.
Well, yeah.
And you were like one of the main shaved ice slingers.
Shaved ice guru.
Okay, walk us through how do you make a shaved ice?
Oh, gosh. Like? Well, back then, it was just so freaking messy, bro. It was brutal. But it was like blocks of ice, and that you just put in this little thing, you kind of grind it down to hold it in place, and then it spins it, and that's it. And it would spin it on a little, you know, blade to slice it open, and it was silly. So you'd put it into a Dutch Bros cup, and then I would just put flavor on top. It was a big, bulky machine that was clankety, and then at the same, and then just syrup everywhere. It was just a mess. But the thing that was rad, when I was 12, I would make this shaved ice and serve it out the window, and my dad put a cup up there, and this is how I got paid. It was tips for the kid. And so I got to keep all the tips. So this is what I did learn. I learned that, like, yeah, guess what, guys? I don't care. I still play with Ninja Turtles, okay? And I collected comic books. And so I was like, dude, the more tips I make, the more I could buy. More comics I could buy, more action figures I could buy, all that stuff. And so I found that, like, if I really just sweet-talked, especially, like, the older ladies, you know, I'm like, oh, hey, ladies, what's going on? Hey, how are you? You know, oh, Shane's over here nodding his head. He's like, I know what that's like. Hey, well, I'm Shane. I just knew that if I could just talk to people and be genuine and be just sincere and nice, and that they hopefully would tip me, you know, and that's just kind of how I got the money.
You're in middle school at this point.
Oh, yeah.
But you're an employee of the company.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what did your friends think about that? Like, did you enjoy it, or was it weird? Like, you felt like you had all this extra responsibility?
It really wasn't until the summer of my eighth grade year. You know, that's when it first really started just sucking. At that point, I was working at our Fred Meyer location, and all my friends would be going to hang out in the summer, and just, you know, this is probably in 95 or so.
Yeah.
And they'd be going to go to the river or going to just a pool party somewhere or something, you know. I mean, it's not like when you're 14, you have a whole lot of parties to go to and stuff.
No.
But it's like I'd always be working. There came a point where it was just kind of annoying. No. But you know what? At the same time, too, there was this jealousy that was kind of forming. I could feel it, you know. I was like, oh, dude, yeah. Hey, can I get a job? I'm like,
totally.
So it wasn't really until I was about 16 that all my buddies, I started working. Because, you know, they needed their licenses.
So now you got a few shops in town at this point. Motown, yeah. Freddy's.
Yeah.
Trav kind of talked about, he really credits what helped them take the business to the next level was your dad discovering some Tony Robbins books.
Yeah.
And sitting him down and sharing
that. I believe
it
was Unlimited Power.
Yeah.
You know, what's cool is I have the original book that he had.
You do?
Yeah, it's cool because it's all highlighted up and stuff. It's pretty awesome.
That's dope.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. They sat down on the mobile home floor, you know, like Trav said, and just wrote out those goals and stuff, and these unlimited goals, which was so rad. And I think it really triggered a lot in my dad of taking Trav under his wing and really pouring into him. Like, all right, this is working. You know, Trav at the time, he's in his early 20s. He was just kind of like a loose cannon, kind of wild boy.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and my dad was kind of like just this mentor of his that would be like, hey, bro, like, you good? Okay. Trying to influence him to make better decisions. And, but at the same time, not being a father figure to him, you know, just being just a cool older brother, you know, and really pouring into him a ton and just kind of being there to help guide him. Wasn't there to tell him no, but it was just there to give him better options. Yeah, they sat down and just did goals. You know, you know it's funny. He did the same thing with me when I turned 16.
So he did, yeah. Because that was what I was going to get at. Like, did he ever go with you on a personal level?
And
with
I remember
Tony Robbins?
Like being like, this is stupid, dude. This is so dumb. But, you know, when you're 16, you're just make weird choices anyways. You think you're... I thought I was so smart. You know what? And that hasn't gone away. I still feel like I'm so smart, dude. I'm not.
And how much, at this point, too, was your dad away from home?
It was pretty cool because it, you know, like me getting to go and work in the stands with him and stuff, it's a super family-oriented thing. Mm. You know, like today, at headquarters in Grants Pass, there's no school today, and so all these kids are at headquarters, you know, just mobbing around. Because we're like, we don't care. We get it. We want you to be a family person. We feel there's a ton of value in that, you know? And so getting to do that was awesome. But he was working all the time. You know, I mean, on Sundays, he'd be working on machines, working on maintenance stuff, and he was good at it. Some would be working just fine. He'd take it apart just to see how it worked.
Yeah.
You know, and put it back together.
It seemed like a lot of times just other employees, because now you guys have got some crews, like they'd end up just posting up, hanging out at the house for a little bit. Like I remember like Jared Hamilton sometimes like cruising over and stuff.
Yeah, I remember they had a barbecue and like just burn the snot out of whatever they're barbecuing because they'd just be like talking so much.
They weren't even looking at the...
That was actually Tim, my brother-in-law. The first time he ever came over was for a barbecue. I think it was like steak or something. And he just burnt them so bad. I was like, dude. And Tim's like over there eating it, like smiling like, yeah, this is great. He's like, so good.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm looking at him. I'm like 14. I'm like, you're such a nerd.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to marry this guy's daughter. I have to eat his crappy steak.
This tart, like this just crisp charcoaled burger. Yeah, my dad, I say it a lot, you know, but I'll say it again. He was like a father figure to a ton of people. He was like the cool dad, just similar to Trav. He wasn't the guy to tell you no. He was the guy to give you better options, you know? And so he'd hear you out and listen. And if you asked for his opinion, he'd give his opinion. But he always made time. He made sure that everybody was treated equally and just well, you know? Yeah. And so he had a lot of young guys and gals that became a part of Dutch Bros. And he'd take them under his wing to just kind of make sure that he could just influence him. You know, he was a master influencer.
I like it. That is a good thing to be. Well, as long as it's a positive. See, I'm a master influencer, like the negative way.
Yeah, like this 600 calorie nonsense.
Like, Shane, go do that. Go get that girl's number. I remember I'd hang out with you on shift at Freddy's and stuff like that. There's a Carl's Jr. there. That was fun.
Oh, man.
We'd buy those
Carl's
rubber
Jr.
band guns and shoot each other and stuff.
Dude.
So you were like holding down the fort for Freddy's for a few years, right?
Yeah, I think I did that for probably about a year and a half, 2 years. I went through a multiple like kind of levels. Mm-hmm. When I turned 16, my parents bought me a truck.
Awesome. A red Toyota.
88, I think. 88 Toyota pickup truck, long bed. It was rad. Yeah. I mean, it was nothing like fancy schmancy, but it was perfect. Mm. And my dad was like, here you go, man. Congratulations. Now you're going to be our water and waste guy. And I was like, oh. So we had water and waste tanks on our every espresso machine, or you know, at every location.
Yeah.
And so because we weren't hooked into sewer or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So we'd bring in fresh water and dump the waste into this big old truck. And I was supposed to take it. Dude, this is... Please don't judge me. I mean, you know what? Judge me all you want. I'm not a nice guy. I would take it and I would just go behind like a building and just let it rip because I'm like, I'm not taking it all the way out, you know, whatever. And so I just did some bad things when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Thankfully, never got caught. I'm sorry, environment. But you know what? It wasn't nothing.
It's just coffee grounds and water and a little bit of milk.
Nasty milk.
Right. I remember. I did it in 03 to 04.
Yeah.
But that stuff stank.
It was horrible. I mean, I remember spilling it on me and getting it all over me. It was just like, ugh.
Okay, so Marty McKenna going to run the first Dutch Bros in Medford. It was a business license agreement. So then they kind of started kicking the idea of franchising. But they kind of wanted to do him right and felt like maybe they'd benefit with a partnership. It started well, and then he started asking for more money, and they were feeling uncomfortable. So we kind of end the talk with Trav of he's in the picture, but they're concerned about him. What was your impression of him? Do you remember him back then?
Marty was awesome. He's just a cool dude. You know, I think when you have partners in business as a whole, especially when you're conditioned and used to, you know, your brother or whatever, you've known them, you've grown with them, you know all that stuff. It's really easy to align with vision and direction and stuff. And so I think when, you know, Marty came on the scenes, it helped us a ton. It was awesome. Yeah. It was beneficial. But I think it was like, as it was going on, it was like, well, it's not necessarily the same vision and the same thing, which isn't bad. I think it just had different ideas, different expectations, because everybody was at such a different stages in life and where they were. My dad, he was super established and comfortable, and I think Trav was just like excited and hungry, and I think Marty was wanting to kind of establish himself more, you know?
Yeah.
Just Medford, man, was just a whole new beast. You know, it was like so close yet so far away feeling.
When they opened that first shop in Medford, were you like tripping? Like, holy crap, I can't believe.
Not really, because I didn't really go over there ever. But, you know, funny story is I ended up working in Medford for a while after high school, you know, which was kind of funny. But
in Dana's apartment, right?
Yeah, I lived with my sister. I remember and that was...
Don't live with your sister, kids.
I'll tell you this much. Her greatest mistake, she had the Harry Potter books, and she just let them go. Original copies. Just let them go, you know? But, you know, what are you going to do? You can't go back in time and say, hey, hold on to those Harry Potter books. They're going to be worth something someday.
Can't totally. You don't know at that point.
You just go, that was a great book, and you throw it away.
Okay, so I guess just to close for part two.
In closing.
Just one memory of that time that was one of your funnest, most fondest.
I think it was just, you know, Dutch Bros has started to grow. I don't know. It was like everybody wanted to be my homie.
Yeah.
It was easy to make friends because there was some good coffee on the other side, you know. Well, I loved it. I was social. I mean, by then I'd worked so much in the window that you got used to just talking to people. You got used to striking up conversations, just any kind of stuff. And then also my sister kind of leading the charge ahead of me. She worked in the stands too, you know, and in school. She was like this straight A student, just amazing scholar, you know, nerd. And she was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
She was you know, let me just make sure everyone knows, state champion cheerleader. That's okay. Right. Jeez. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Actually, Shane and her share a rock at the All Sports Park of the, it's called the state champion.
Oh, that's right. Because Shane got the state champ basketball.
Yeah.
What was that? 2013?
Wow. Man.
State champion.
Unreal.
Then he blew out his knee twerking.
Well, that's what happens. Dance machine. It was just cool because Dutch Bros started to really kind of trend, started to take off a little bit. You know, nothing like it is now, but like it just started getting popular in Grants Pass. You know, we had a lot of cool young pioneers leading the way. Josh Lute and the Weber brothers. I had the dopest white little pager. It was
pager.
So
oh my god.
Yeah, people would like beat. I'd always get paged 1-4-3. You know what that means? I love you.
Oh,
because I love you. Yeah. Really? Come on, bro.
But that was Sandy that was paging him.
No, man, that was. Yeah,
I love you too.
And
mom.
I was like, yeah, I would put 1-4-3-2.
Love it.
Because I'm a good son.
Well, that's Technology History 101 there, ladies and gentlemen.
And also History Part 2 of Dutch Bros Coffee.
Bam.
Catch you next time on the Booyaka Show.